From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 24. The Lord our God hath showed us His glory. God's great design in all His works is the manifestation of His own glory. Any aim less than this were unworthy of Himself. But how shall the glory of God be manifested to such fallen creatures as we are? Man's eye is not single. He has ever a side glance towards his own honor, has too high an estimate of his own powers, and so is not qualified to behold the glory of the Lord. It is clear, then, that self must stand out of the way, that there may be room for God to be exalted. And this is the reason why He brings the people of God oft-times into straits and difficulties, that being made conscious of their own folly and weakness, they may be fitted to behold the majesty of God when He comes forth to work their deliverance. He whose life is one even and smooth path will see but little of the glory of the Lord, for he has few occasions of self-emptying, and hence but little fitness for being filled with the revelation of God. They who navigate little streams and shallow creeks know but little of the God of tempests, but they who do business in great waters, these see His wonders in the deep. Among the huge Atlantic waves of bereavement, poverty, temptation, and reproach, we learn the power of Jehovah, because we feel the littleness of man. Thank God, then, if you have been led by a rough road. It is this which has given you your experience of God's greatness and loving kindness. Your troubles have enriched you with a wealth of knowledge, to be gained by no other means. Your trials have been the cleft of the rock in which Jehovah has set you, as He did His servant Moses, that you might behold His glory as it passed by. Praise God that you have not been left to the darkness and ignorance which continued prosperity might have involved, but that in the great fight of affliction you have been capacitated for the outshinings of His glory in His wonderful dealings with you.
A cheerful heart that tastes those gifts with joy.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the Epistle to the Romans as he brings the opening portion of a message called God's Plan to Bring the Gospel to the World. The text is verses 11 through 21 of Romans chapter 10. The Apostle Paul spent the earlier part of the chapter emphasizing that salvation is by grace alone through Christ alone. The gospel message is so clear that even children can understand it. What keeps sinners in their lost condition is simply unbelief. Paul sets forth the way of salvation in the clearest possible terms, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, God's Plan to Bring the Gospel to the World.
We return this evening to the 10th chapter of the Epistle to the Romans. Romans chapter 10. The great subject of this chapter is vital, especially in a Reformed church, and this is a Reformed church. That subject is the free offer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a calumny heaped upon the Reformed faith, often by its enemies, but unfortunately, sometimes just as often, by its misguided friends, that it is inconsistent to believe in the eternal purpose of God and salvation, and yet freely to present Christ to men and to invite men as sinners to Jesus Christ with the gospel promise that we have just been singing, that whosoever will believe shall everlasting life receive. This is a church that is not only Calvinistic but evangelistic. And as I pointed out this morning, evangelism is not just proclaiming truth, it is also pleading with sinners to obey the truth. And no ministry is complete unless it contains those component parts. So I think I can see the providence of the Lord in taking time to emphasize the free offer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We return to Romans 10 and take up the reading at verse 11. And read through the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 10, verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his precious, inspired, and infallible word for his name's sake. Some years ago, addressing a well-known preacher of the gospel, a skeptic took a position that he thought provided a clinching argument against the gospel. They said to the preacher, you boast of the power and the glory of your gospel. But if this gospel is really true, how come that there are still so many sinners left in the world? How come so many still reject it, if it's really all you claim it to be? In one form or another, we have heard that argument again and again. Logically, at first sight, it doesn't seem to carry much weight. But the implication is you can hardly claim that after 2,000 years, this gospel of yours, which you boast to be of God, and not only of God, but the power of God, and to be instinct with the very glory of God, you can't really claim that it works after all these years. The world's still in as big or a bigger mess than when you started, and there's still all these sinners left in the world. So happened they were going through a fairly poverty-stricken part of town. So the preacher turned up into a dingy alley in which there were a number of very dirty little children playing. And he selected one particularly dirty specimen among those urchins and brought him forward to the preacher and had him to the skeptic and had him to look at him. And he said, "Because he's still dirty, would you deny the power of soap and water?" And there ended the argument. As I thought of that, I thought, you know, that's exactly the vein in which the Apostle Paul was answering the Jews who were objecting to his gospel. Like that skeptic, the Jews were finding fault with the gospel. Their whole aim, as was the skeptic's aim, their whole aim was to exonerate themselves from all blame, to make sure there was no condemnation accruing to them for the state in which they were found. And, of course, therefore, to blame the gospel. In fact, the Jews denied that they had any real spiritual problem or need. They denied the gospel's diagnosis of their state, and therefore they utterly rejected the cure, the message that the gospel set forth. But Paul used the soap and water argument to them. Very clearly, in this 10th chapter of Romans, he was making the point to them that the preacher was making to the skeptic. Yes, there are still many unbelievers. There are still many unclean sinners. There are still many unregenerate lives. But just as soap and water still retain their power to cleanse, no matter how many filthy people there are in the world, so the gospel still is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, no matter how many unbelievers are left in the world. And the point he's making is, if you're still in your sin, if you're still lost, don't blame God and don't blame the gospel. If you're still in your sin, it is not for want of goodness in God, nor is it for want of power in the gospel. It is because of your own willful, wicked, wretched unbelief. That's the point that he's making. Throughout this 10th chapter, indeed starting at chapter 9, verse 30. For that's where the section really begins. Paul is making the fundamental point that the sin of unbelief excludes sinners from God's salvation. The reason why they're not saved. Now, they may have every excuse in the world. They may try, as these Jewish people were doing, to argue about God's eternal sovereignty. They may try to twist the doctrine of God's predestinating and electing purpose. They may come up with 101 excuses, but they are neither reasons nor arguments. Paul cuts through all that, and he says, having taught you the truth about God's sovereignty, having taught you the truth about God's predestinating decree, having taught you the truth about the sovereign will of God in the salvation of sinners, let me make this clear to you. If you remain in your sin, it is because of willful unbelief. If you reject Christ, it is because you will to reject Christ. If you still stay unjustified, condemned, and outside of the pale of mercy, it is because you will so to remain. It's the sin of unbelief that excludes sinners from God's salvation. But faith in Jesus Christ, by whomsoever exercised, will always and inevitably lead them into God's salvation. In dealing with this, we have noticed how Paul constructed his argument. He showed at the end of chapter 9 that the sole instrument whereby man receives salvation is faith in Jesus Christ. In chapter 10, the first three verses, he shows that nothing, not even the most sincere religious zeal, not even a zeal that is directed at least professedly toward the Lord Jehovah, not even a zeal that can read the Scriptures and recite the prayers of Scripture and sing the songs of Scripture, not even a zeal for the righteousness of the law. May I say that's the highest form of religious zeal of which the unregenerate man is capable. Not even that can take the place of saving faith. Then we pointed out from verses 4 through 8 that the reason why the Lord insists on faith alone for salvation is the impossibility of any other way of attaining to righteousness before God. There is no other way. Then verses 9 and 10 we dealt with last week, that this gospel demands a very particular kind of faith, and it places everyone who hears it under the obligation to exercise this faith in Jesus Christ. Now we get to our Bible reading for tonight, starting in verse 11. Now Paul takes a fifth step in his argument, and he makes the point in verses 11 through 13 that the message of justification by faith is God's message for the whole world. What he's saying here is that here is a word. Remember the background again. The Jews were carping in their criticism. They were finding fault. They were really making the good news out to be bad news. And Paul is saying, look, this is a gospel. This is a message from God that brings hope to all. It sets the word of grace before men in such a way that every man, be he Jew or Gentile, is forced to consider it. When you hear the gospel, it goes to the heart and the conscience, and it poses urgent and important questions. Now the question is not what many people would make it to be. The question is not, understand this when you hear the gospel, the question is not, number one, am I among the elect? Take your Bible. That is an illegitimate question for any Christ-rejecting sinner to dare to ask. The question is not, am I among the elect? Let me come a little closer. When you hear the gospel, the question is not, do I have a warrant to believe? To ask that question is to put a question mark over the veracity of the Scriptures of truth and the sincerity of the God of truth. Do I have a warrant to believe? Those are not the questions. When you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the question that it forces in upon the conscience is very simple. We have just last week noted the words, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Arising out of that, one question only must be forced upon the conscience, and it is, do I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God hath raised him from the dead? Do I or do I not? And if I do, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. And if I don't, the Bible implies, thou shalt not be saved. Now that is plain, simple, straightforward. There is no way whereby the Holy Ghost, inspiring the Apostle Paul here, is going to allow anybody to take the gospel of justification by free grace through faith in the merits of Christ and mystify it by a misapplication of the various truths that Paul has been dealing with in Romans 9 as he defends God and his gospel from the attacks of these critics. Do I confess and do I believe?
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.